Michael?
Yes, Jim?
It's not 6 o'clock in the morning, is it?
No, it's just a little after 3 in the afternoon.
I'm supposed to be taking a nap. Actually, I'm here for a very good reason. Jim McKinney and Michael Loudon here. Why, you ask? Well, because Roger chipped a tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And I have done that before. Ow. I mean, seriously, ow. So he sounded like he was in pain when I was talking to him on the phone. So he is going and getting treated and made the mistake not only of making this decision, but making this decision while not under anesthesia and asked me if I would fill in. Mm-hmm. He may regret that. You never know. So anyway, it's the trifecta. Two of us, the unit, is the duo, the dynamic duo, Michael and myself. And we'll be here until 5, and we're going to talk about fun stuff. We're going to talk about healthcare. We're going to talk about wolves. We're going to talk about something else, too. Hang on a second here. I got to figure out where it is. Oh, yeah, that Michigan State professor that called GOP's members racists and rapists. Guess what they did? You'll find out here in a bit. So, all right. As always, the phone lines are open, 382-4280, 1-877-382-4280. Feel the need to text. Text away to 80373. We'll do what we can. And we might even have some movie passes to give away. We will see here. I have to go and see if I can get the passes out from my desk without getting zapped. So I booby-trap them so people can't get them.
Like me.
Yeah, well, me too. You know, I always forget that they're booby-trapped. So anyway, cool. So we're going to talk insurance. We're going to talk all sorts of fun stuff. But let's start the show. What do you say?
All right, let's start it.
Rousing, I'm telling you, rousing. Gotta love it. All right, so Obamacare. We're dealing with computer issues, and this is everybody. And a lot of people haven't been able to get in to Obamacare, and rightfully so, because it's just flat out not working. And the president's, you know, can't tell you. Just bugs me. So anyway, healthcare premiums vary across the state of Michigan. Lansing area residents, for instance, buying private insurance plans on the new health exchange will pay about 20% more that for the same type of coverage than residents in the cheapest part of the state. Now, premiums in Lansing are 33% less than most of the Upper Peninsula, which is the most expensive part of the state. Now, why do you ask? Well, prices differ because some insurers are not offering plans in every county, and they are allowed to charge different prices for the same level of coverage based on where the purchaser lives. The reasons for the differences can include how old and sick an area's population is, whether patients and doctors in an area choose higher cost procedures, and whether there's a lot of competition among insurers. So, you know, if you got a lot of competition, chances are your costs are going to be low. So let's take a look at Kalamazoo County, for instance. For the Affordable Care Act costs, prices for the second lowest silver plan. This is the second lowest plan. It uses the basis for the amount of governmental subsidy allowed per plan. So, if you are a single person who is 27 years old per month, okay, this is the cost per month, $222.84. A single person who is 50 years old, $379.76. Any family, two parents who are 30 years old with two kids, $752. $1.72. Wow. Is that per month? Is that per, like, year?
I'd almost think that's per month.
Yeah. Sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Hang on.
Oh, it does say that they would pay, like, a 50-year-old would pay $7.51 more a year.
Yeah, let's look at this. Ingham, get rid of that. Ingham County. That's Eden County. Well, Eden County is fine. Okay. So, yeah, you would pay, all right, that is per month. All right, so, and that's without a subsidy. Okay? There are five insurers that are in the exchange for Kalamazoo County. Okay? Let's go to Van Buren County. $229.31 for a 27-year-old single person. 50-year-old single person, all about $391. And just almost $775 for a parent, family, two parents, or a 30-year-old with two kids. Number of insurers, there's only four there. Calhoun County, there's four insurers. Berry County, there's three insurers. So you can see that the less insurers there are, the cost goes up.
Mm-hmm.
Ionia County, four insurers. Let's check something here. Kent County has four insurers, but look at the cost. Single person who's 27 years old, $208.58. So it must have something, like I said, it has something to do with, you know, as it says, the how old and sick an area population is, patient and doctors in an area choose higher cost procedures, and whether there's as much competition. Well, there's the same amount of competition in Kent County as there is in Kalamazoo County. But I'm wondering if the cost is less because of the two big hospitals up there. But we have two big hospitals.
Yeah, we have Bronson.
Not as
and
big
Borges.
As Spectrum. Spectrum's like a Borg, okay?
Yeah.
Just rolls along looking for something else to run over. Spectrum is huge. So Metropolitan is the other big one. It's a big tube. Not as big as Spectrum is. Man, a lot of hospitals belong to Spectrum.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that's the way it is. Now let's go up to the UP. All right? Let's go to Marquette County. Or it says Alger County. Let's go to Marquette County. Marquette County. Okay, so the cost for a 27-year-old is $274.02. Single person who is 50, $466.99, and about $925 for a family. Number insurers, three. Now, the top amount in the state for a family plan is $991.26. Let's see. There it is. Gogebic County,
mm-hmm.
which is way the heck over near Wisconsin. You got to wonder if the people over there are going to, like, say, hey, look, can we just, like, zipping on Wisconsin's deal?
Yeah.
You know? This is crap, guys. Ontonagon County is the same way. Houghton County is close. Baraga County is close. Come on, you. Keweenaw County. That's the biggest two. And I'm really getting hit... ticked at this computer, all right? So that's the highest, too. Keweenaw is as well. So the further south you go in Michigan, now the three less are like Wayne County, okay? Single person who is 27 years old, okay? $183.75 per month. Single person who's 50, $313.14. Or a family of two parents and two children, the parents are 30 years old, $620.66 per month. There are nine insurers there because there's more people.
Yeah, more people.
All right. So what does that mean? That means that if you want cheaper insurance, you need to go to Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb counties. Nine companies are offering plans. There's the most in the state. But... for instance, that's not always the case here, as it points out. In Ingham County, there are five insurers, but remember, Kalamazoo only had four, but it was less money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If there's a dominant insurer, it might have less pressure to reduce prices. For instance, in the Lansing area, okay, Blue Cross Blue Shield, has the main part of the market. Sparrow and McLaren Health Corps. And then Sparrow also has hospitals in St. John's, Ionia, and Carson City. So those counties probably. One of the other players in this, in largely in Eaton County, is Hayes Green Beach Hospital in Charlotte. So here it would be Bronson Borges.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Grand Rapids would be Spectrum and Metropolitan. I think there are some. St. Mary's has a free bed hospital, but that's more a rehab.
Yeah.
So that's not going to. So it really kind of depends. All the Michigan counties except one has the choice of only one or two providers in the UP. All the Michigan counties except one that have the choice of only one or two providers are up in the UP. So for those of you who like Upper Peninsula life, you're going to pay for it. Seriously. If you're an insurer, as this one researcher says, and you want to enter a rural market and there's just one hospital, the hospital can just tell you to get lost.
Oh, yikes.
Isn't that nice? Welcome to free enterprise. So if you've got a hospital in Marquette County, somebody wants to go up there, they could tell them to go skip a rope. So Blue Cross Blue Shield has over 50% of the individual insurance marketing plans in the market in the state anyway. And they're the only insurer offering plans in every county, but they're charging 23.5% more for the same plan in most of the UP than what they're charging in the Northwestern Lower Peninsula. Okay, the rating area that includes Ingham County is the third most expensive for Blue Cross, costing about 15% more than the cheapest area. So, this was supposed to maximize competition. What it sounds like to me, Michael, is that in some areas, you can worm your way in, and you can be one of two or three, and you can charge whatever the heck you want,
mm-hmm.
and keep costs high. Okay, now, where there's nine, Blue Cross Blue Shield is going to face some competition. So... Mm-hmm. There we go. So we'll have to wait and see. But this is an interesting comparison with figuring out how much healthcare premiums are going to cost. Hmm. Interesting. So you might want to check that out. If you've been able to get on, line. So a quick note from Consumers Power, or Consumers Energy, rather. They pretty much don't know when they're going to get the power back on. They do, but they don't. They're working on it right now. Some people are going to get their power returned maybe tonight. Some people maybe tomorrow. Some people it's going to be Wednesday or Thursday. They just do not know. You can go to the Consumers Energy website and get kind of an interesting idea. But when you're dealing with the restoration of electrical power, you have to go according to what the elements are letting them do. The fact that it's still windy out there.
Yeah.
There was spitting snow earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really going to block the linemen, but I'm going to tell you that in a lot of rural areas, they're going to have to clear away trees and be really careful about what they're picking up and what they're not, and then re-putting everything together again, and that takes a while.
I guess my parents are going to be over at my house for a while.
Because are they really?
I have power, and they don't. And I'm looking at the map right now, and I guess I'm lucky that I have power because there's some dots on this map that I'm pretty dang close to.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's, I was going to come over to your house, too, but I have power.
Okay.
So I don't have to worry about it. I do have power. So for those of you who do not have power, I'm sorry. I am. We had a little incident here at the station. I don't know if you know about it.
I read about that on Facebook last night.
We had a 71-year-old tower that decided it was going to go timber in the middle of a storm. We were doing the severe weather coverage, Rick Shields and myself, me, whatever, and I, whoever it is, and me, myself, I, whatever. And we heard crackling in the headphones, and then the power, and then the station went off the air. But then it came back on. Then heard crackling again. Then it went off, and it went off for good and stayed off for about 3 hours. And when our engineer went out there, he discovered that the top of the 71-year-old antenna on the west side of the property, had fallen to the point where the beacon was only 20 feet off the ground.
Oh, jeez.
These are pretty big towers, guys. So that tower is no more. Got pictures of it.
Okay.
We might have to put them up on the website just to show you. But, it's done. It's done for us. So we got to fix it. And we don't know how yet. So we'll figure out. It's going to take delicate work. So, all right, the wolf hunt is underway. How many have been shot? We will talk about that next. It is the trifecta, 590 WKZL. What would you do with $165 million?
Oh, boy, I don't know. Give some to charity, give some to my parents, my girlfriend, get a Mustang.
You get more than one, Michael.
Yeah,
you know.
I know.
You get one in each color if you want. That's something.
Oh, my girlfriend would want one, I know.
I can tell you one thing. My last show here is something you're going to want to tune into.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Would we have fun? We got a couple of one. Well, it's not a cancellation necessarily. It's just a situation that's going on.
Yeah. Adult day services at Oakland Center are opened, but the phone lines are down, and they could be down through Wednesday, I was told. And then there's one traffic issue. There's a train signal malfunction at a stadium in Howard. So
oh, boy.
Seek an alternate route.
Ooh, that's a busy intersection.
Yeah.
We had about 9 lights out this morning.
Yeah, I had to come through some of them to get here today.
And did people stop?
Yes, they
good.
Did.
That's good. Because sometimes they don't.
Yes.
Sometimes they just whip on through. Oh, no light? Good. That means then go. You're like, oh, no. Were you, like, sleeping during that part of driver's ed? Yeah, schmo? All right. All right. So, 327 590 WKZO. It is the trifecta. It's Michael and myself. We're holding forth. I've had very little sleep, so I'm going to tell you the show's going to get more fun as the day goes on. Seriously.
I can't wait.
Woo! All right, so the wolf hunt is on. This is something Roger rails against.
Yes, heavily. He does, very heavily.
5 wolves have been killed during the wolf hunt in the UP. They updated the results Sunday morning. It started on Friday, runs through December unless 43 are killed before the end of the year. So they got 38 to go before they hit their goal. It's the first hunt in Michigan since the wolf was placed on the endangered species list nearly 40 years ago. 1,200 people have licenses to participate with firearm, crossbow, or bow and arrow. The state's wolf population is estimated at 658. And they're complaining in some areas. There's 3 zones up there where wolves can be killed. And I think they had 3 in one area and 1 each in the other areas. And the problem with the wolf hunt is that you gotta deal with some of the hunters who are a little you have to, I guess, understand the hunter's mentality, which I am not a hunter, but I understand some of the hunters were a little braggadocio about shooting a wolf. Now, one guy made his best play to, you know, majestic, that, is, you know, it's a majestic animal and it's worthy of being, you know, being hunted and whatnot. So I wasn't quite sure, but I have a feeling that just that attitude is going to tick off all the anti-hunters. So it's going to happen. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Good. How about you?
I'm all right. What's up?
Just on my way home from the middle of the UP.
Really? Did you go wolf hunting?
No.
No.
Nope. We're in an area that's over 100 miles from any of the open zones.
Oh, okay.
And we tent camped in the middle of the UP since 1977.
Wow.
Family. We had nephews from Arizona, Iowa. It's a big deal.
Yeah. Sounds
like it. This year was the worst hunting ever.
Really?
Every party store, every gas store owner, the wolf is their nemesis.
Uh-huh.
This is from them. This is from them. And we saw 6 deer between 12 of us.
Wow.
And we saw 7 wolves.
Well, the deer are outnumbered, so
that's their thing. You know, there's never much discussion about the wolf-deer situation, but they have absolutely devastated the deer herd in the Upper Peninsula.
That, you know, farmers were talking about the cattle and things like
that.
But what they weren't talking about is the fact that there are a lot of deer hunters that are mad because the wolf is really doing a number.
And I have an acquaintance at the Hiawatha Club, which is back in the area where they can hunt closer to the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And this was 3 years ago. He lives up there all summer, like from April on through. And he found a den and set up a trail camp. And this was, like I said, several years ago. And in the process of raising whatever they're called, cubs, kits, whatever, they had photo evidence of over 20 fawns being returned to the den. And that's when the numbers were much lower than they are now.
Wow.
So that, you know, this is just kind of a firsthand experience. And like I say, we've been going for 36 years or whatever it is.
Huh. Wow.
And it, And it, what the thing is, economically, it's just killing those people. I've never seen it so dead with no hunters, no activity. I mean, it's a big thing for them, that 2 weeks of selling gas and licenses and everything else that goes with it.
Yeah, this is a big part of the tourist trade in Michigan. It really is.
And it's sad to see the hunting that bad, which discourages people from going, which hurts those people that trying to make a living up there.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, thanks, Mark. We appreciate the call. All right. Yep. Take care. All right. Well, let's talk to Christy. Hi, Christy. How are you?
I'm good.
First of all, do you have power out there?
No, I do not.
I was going to say, as soon as I saw Hickory Corners, I went, uh-oh.
Yeah, no, and it's a disaster out here. Trees, branches, limbs, it's a mess.
Wow. Yeah. Well, we hope it's better for you soon.
Well, I hope it's sooner than Saturday.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
It would be awesome.
Yeah. So,
well, about the wolf hunt, it's kind of interesting to note that the DNR, neither the DNR nor the Natural Resource Commission had said one thing about the deer herd being depleted and that the wolf hunt is a reason that, you know, is being held because of the deer population.
Did you notice that too, did you?
Yes. If you go to the DNR's website, they have a prey predator study that they've done for probably 3 years, I think, and nowhere is our wolves listed as the number one reason for population decreases in deer.
I wondered about that, too, because, you know, we had heard the whole time, Christy, when we were talking about this, it was because they were attacking farm animals.
Well, and those farm animals, 70% of the attacks are on that one farm, John Koski's farm, where he let donkeys die that he was given to by the DNR for as guard animals. He was also given $1,300 worth of fencing that went missing. He has gotten over $33,000 in compensation from lost livestock. He is friends with Senator Casperson. He is friends with the local judge. He has left dead animals, carcasses, parts, even deer legs on his property, which is against the law. He never received one single citation in violation of the law. So if you back out his livestock attacks from the greater number, it's extremely low. There's one farm up there that hasn't had an attack in 12 years. It's been 12 years since he lost a cow or a calf to wolves. The primary predator of livestock, a lot of coyotes, they'll take the calves. Wolves don't really bother so much with the smaller animals because they have more mouths to feed. They live in packs. So, and black bears also take fawns and calves. So if you look at the DNR's prey predator study, there are other factors higher on the list than wolves are. So in this whole thing, if you look at the chain of command, sort of, let's go from Governor Snyder, who oversees the Natural Resource Commission, because he appoints them, not just him, but previous governors also appoint the Natural Resource Commission. The Natural Resource Commission is overseen by the Senate. And who got this wolf hunt started? Senator Tom Casperson. So the Natural Resource Commission is not immune from political power and pressure. And that is exactly what's happening here, because one of the commissioners, J.R. Richardson, had told the DNR department, who was receiving comments, which they asked for, they asked the public to comment on the wolf hunt. They dumped over 2,000 of them without even opening them. The tally, there were 13 comments for the wolf hunt and over 3,000 against. So
you got to wonder if this is going to be like the first and last wolf hunt. You know,
well,
seriously.
You know what? And they keep saying, you know, that this is based on science and all that. Well, they're not even weighing the wolves that have been taken. And actually, it's up to six now. They're not weighing them. They're estimating. They're not saying exactly where they were taken. So there's no science there. It's the only science is political science. This is totally purely politically driven because of hunters' organizations, particularly the bear hunters, hounders' organizations, and that Hiawatha Sportsmen's Club that's in District C, 30,000 acres of the Hiawatha Club is in that wolf hunting unit.
Wow.
It's a private hunting club. And does that have anything to do with livestock depredation? Absolutely not.
Probably not.
Right, absolutely well, not.
Thanks, Christy. We appreciate your call.
All right, well, thank
all right,
you.
Hope your power comes back on soon.
Me too. Thank you.
All right, we'll take Brian quickly before we go to break. Hey, Brian, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
All right, man.
I support the wolf hunt. I think your previous caller didn't mention anything about the hunting dogs that are being killed by the wolves. Okay, so that shouldn't happen. So if she's so concerned with wolves, she should think about the dogs as well. But the other thing is I talked to a wolf banning supporter up at Grand Rapids during the art prize, and at some point we are going to need to manage the wolf population, whether that's at 650 or, you know, 1,000, whatever the number might be, and it makes more sense to sell licenses to hunters and have them take the wolves out at managed, you know, zones rather than paying biologists and having to spend tax money to manage the wolves.
What I'm wondering, Brian, is this going to be the first and last wolf hunt? Because I've got a sneaking suspicion that even if we get to the end of December and we don't reach 43, or we reach 43 before the end of December, this isn't over with. This is something that's going to go on and on and on for a while, just with all the controversy on both sides.
So, why is it different? I hope it won't be the last wolf hunt, to answer your question. But why is it okay to kill a coyote but not a wolf? I mean, they're both predators.
That's true. I don't know. I'd have to look at the studies, I guess, because, you know, the previous caller mentioned coyotes too. And the other thing that did kind of bug me was when this first came out and they were talking about, okay, we have to do this and we have to protect the farm animals, blah, blah, blah. They didn't mention anything about deer. And I have heard from about a half a dozen hunters that wolves are deer predators and that they are thinning out the population. So, but they're doing it down here too, I think, aren't they? We have wolves down here?
No, we don't have wolves. We have the coyotes.
We have coyotes. Yeah, I know.
They take out fawns.
I actually saw a coyote over by my apartment building.
Oh,
in
boy.
Portage. That's how close they are. I don't know if they're getting in, you know, where they're, but there's a lot of, you know, woods and stuff like that over there by, you know, where I live. And I was walking and saw a coyote. So
yeah,
I know they're
well
here, man.
Documented. The urban coyotes are well documented.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Brian. We appreciate
the call.
Yeah, they
take out house cats and stuff. So.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I was going to say, yeah, I know house pets are like a big target. So, mm-hmm. And appreciate the call. This is a very, very passionate.
Yes, it is.
You know, and both sides. And I cannot fault Brian's argument. And I can't fault Christie's argument either. I just think that they probably should have gone about this a little bit better way than what they did.
Yeah, I think
okay?
so, too.
Because it does seem like there's some politicking going on,
mm-hmm.
you know. And unfortunately, Casperson's not going to be asked to answer for it. He didn't have to. So, now that we're going. All right, we're going to talk with the American Red Cross in a few minutes about what's going on with storms and whatnot. It is the Trifecta 590 WKZO. Well, I'll tell you. I'm tired, baby. 590 WKZO. Bob, you got to save the show, man. I'm telling you.
I'll take it from here, Jim.
All right, you can do that. We lost a broadcasting tower yesterday.
Wow.
71 years old, this tower, and it popped over. Not the whole thing, but the top of it is hanging to the point where it's about 20 feet off the ground.
Jeez.
But the beacon still works. Okay, so the FAA's got to be happy. Yeah.
Still works. It's just not transmitting
just
very
not,
far.
Yeah. Thank you.
In the wrong direction.
Yeah, we were on the air doing severe weather coverage when it went kaboom. So
wow,
it's a lot of fun.
The official highest wind gust as recorded at the airport during that squall line yesterday was 55 miles per hour.
Wow,
that I can see here, 48 knots, 55 miles per hour, ooh, right at about 4 o'clock on the dot.
Wow, mm-hmm. That's crazy. Hey, man. We were, we went off about quarter to four, about 24 hours ago.
Yeah, there you go.
Went kaboom. So I can't wait to hear what the word's going to be.
Well, the word is normalcy.
All right,
after all the violent weather
and
threats of damage and tornadoes, we're back to what you would expect in November. We're back to a sense of normalcy today.
Yeah.
So that's my word.
All right. Well, I can deal with that. It's a little breezy out there, but it's nothing big, and it's 37. Yeah.
Right.
And I saw little bits of snow here and there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're kind of freaking people out, but it's like, you know, first of all, it's not going to accumulate. You know, it's just flying through the air with the greatest of ease.
Right, right. Now, as a matter of fact, I was talking last week a couple of times with Roger about how behind this front, the front that just came through yesterday, it looked like a really good setup for lake effect snow for us. By the end of the week, it didn't look as good anymore. It didn't look as significant. And now, when it comes to lake effect snow, basically just a few harmless flurries, that's it. And they will also dissipate later tonight, and the sky is clear, and we're back to sunshine tomorrow. It's just not going to be a lake effect outbreak.
I'm good.
Last week, we saw lake effect snow, but the winds were oriented more north-south, and all the lake effect snow went to our west, came up the bottom side of the lake. So anyone that was driving from here to Chicago would have had to drive through that.
Yeah.
But it looked like it was going to be much more of a westerly or northwesterly flow this time around, and that we'd have extensive lake effect snow would push inland and across and through the area. Just not happening. First of all, the wind gradient is not the best anymore. Second of all, the air mass isn't as cold as what it once looked like. And most importantly, it's just not going to stick around all that long. It's being pushed through and pushed out by another system that will be moving in as soon as later Thursday. So rather than having it have a chance to set up and establish camp and get going and generate the lake effect machine, gets booted out before it can establish itself, so it's just not going to have time to amount to anything.
Well, you know, that's okay. I don't have a problem with that.
So it's going to be colder. We know that. We've got the colder weather, still the wind.
It's almost Thanksgiving, for crying out loud.
Right, but we're just not going to get really any significant lake effect out of it. Okay. Dropping into the 20s tonight, and tomorrow a much brighter day. The sun will be back. It won't be as windy. We'll be above 40 in the afternoon, and then back to upper 40s by Wednesday.
Yeah, we just had a 21-mile-an-hour gust while I was talking to you.
There you go.
There we go.
A lot better than the 55 from 24 hours ago.
I thought the anemometer actually had siding torn off the side of the building, too,
ooh,
which
wow.
was interesting.
I didn't see that.
You didn't see that? You need to go back out and look. It's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Unless they pulled it down, I guess. I don't know. Bob, I'm going to ask you to trend here for a second. Okay? When is the first chance that we may get some sort of appreciable snow? Do you know?
That could happen actually next week, Thanksgiving week.
Okay.
What happens here is that, this, as I just talked about, this particular cold snap, not all that cold and won't last all that long. Next front comes through Thursday night and Friday with primarily rain. It might be a little rain-snow mix at the start, late Thursday night, but I think it's mostly just a cold rain. After that goes by, it gets a lot colder for this coming weekend. The wind direction doesn't look very good for a lake effect again. Looks like a north-northeasterly wind, so it's not a prime time for lake effect, but it is going to become very cold. And the system that would follow that, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday next week, maybe that could bring some snow.
Okay, I can deal with that. That's not bad. That's a good trend.
There you go.
I like that.
But
that's good trending.
One thing I see when it comes to trends is that we don't have any upstream blocking around eastern Canada and up into Greenland. And when we see that, that's when we start to get concerned about cold blasts coming in, locking in, and staying in place for an extended period of time.
Oh.
I don't see that happening. So I see a number of cold shots, but each one only looks like it lasts a day or two and then moves right out, moderates, then it gets cold again, then it moves out, then it gets, you know, so on and so forth. Just a lot of rapid changes, but no prolonged cold.
Okay. Well, you know what? Hey, we got to be expecting it, man. We're getting closer and closer to the end of the year. So
exactly.
What are you going to do, you know?
Right.
If you're surprised by this, you're wrong.
Yeah, yeah, you haven't been in Michigan.
Hang in there,
right,
man.
And Thanksgiving comes late this year, the
yes,
latest possible Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that is true.
And last year was the earliest possible Thanksgiving
wow.
on the calendar.
Wow, Bob is a trivia wizard. You're going to be like me, man. That's not a good thing, Bob.
All right.
It's not a good thing. Roger should be back tomorrow. He chipped a tooth.
Oh, my.
I'm hip. He sounded like he was in pain when I talked to him.
Ouch.
So he should be back tomorrow, but it was nice talking with you.
Nice talking with you, and
right.
Get some rest.
I will. Oh, yeah. This show's going to get more fun as we go on here.
Okay.
I know that. Thanks, Bob.
Take care.
See ya. Bob Larson, AccuWeather meteorologist extraordinaire. Okay, on now into serious things, obviously. The Red Cross of West Michigan, opening some shelters in and around the area. And they are. We have a list of those, and we're going to talk right now with the Regional Communications Officer of the American Red Cross of West Michigan. We talked with her before, Kelly Hudson. Good afternoon, Kelly. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm well. How about you?
I'm doing okay. Obviously, storms blew through yesterday and did a lot of damage. I have one friend who said she lost seven trees to the wind. Nothing in the house, but seven trees decided to take a hike. And the Red Cross has opened up five shelters around the area because of the power outages.
Yes, we opened five shelters today, and they're going to be open 24 hours a day until there's no longer a need. So this is a place where people can go if they don't have power and they need a place that's safe and warm. They can go there. They can stay the night there if they'd like to do that. It's also if they don't want to stay the night there, then they can also use it as a place where they can charge their phones or their computers. And just warm up for a little bit too if they decide to do that. So, but the five locations we have open, we have one in Kalamazoo County at the Red Cross of Greater Kalamazoo, and that's on Venture Court, just off of Stadium Drive. And then we have one in Berrien County, one in Battle Creek, one in Lake Odessa in Ionia County, and then one in Kent County in Grand Rapids.
And these are going to obviously you guys are in communication with emergency management personnel to if there are any other shelters the Red Cross will have that information as well.
Absolutely, and yes, we've been communicating with emergency management to determine where shelters are needed. We've also been working really closely with 211. We're encouraging anyone who is in need of assistance to call 211 and let them know. What we're doing is we're communicating with them and finding out where they're getting the most calls from, and if we see a significant volume from certain areas, then we may be opening shelters in other areas as well.
Talking with Kelly Hudson of the American Red Cross of West Michigan. Kelly, do they have to contact the locations to see if there's space, or do they just show up?
They're welcome to show up. They don't have to call in advance. They can just show up. We do recommend, though, that people bring some things with them. Maybe if they're planning on staying the night, they should bring an overnight bag, maybe with some pillows or maybe a favorite blanket or something like that, just so that they're comfortable. Obviously, we'll have cots and blankets and things like that, but some people like to just bring their own things, too, and that's perfectly fine. Prescription medications, any hygiene items you're going to need, like your toothbrush, your toothpaste, any of that, a change of clothes. And then you're also going to want to keep in mind, too, if you're bringing infants with you or if you're elderly or you may be bringing someone elderly to the shelter, make sure that you have everything that they need, whether that's diapers or formula or prescription medications or, whatever they may be needing.
So, and Kelly, is there a place online that people can go if they want to get information on the shelters and which ones are available?
Sure. There are a few ways that people can do that. If they have access to internet, they can go to redcross.org/West Michigan and find a list on our website. They can also, if they have the Tornado app on their smartphone, that's available for download for free on any Apple or Android device. And those will actually not only give you weather alerts, but there's also a section within that app where it will show you where all of the open Red Cross shelters are. So that's a really great resource for people. They can click on the shelter section. It will show them the address. And even if they click on the address, it'll even give them directions through their phone on how to get there.
All right. And once again, the shelters that are open in Berrien County, the American Red Cross in St. Joseph, that's open. The American Red Cross location on Beetle Lake Road in Battle Creek is open. St. Edward's Catholic Church on Jordan Lake Street in Lake Odessa in Ionia County. Kalamazoo County is the American Red Cross on Venture Court. And in Kent County, it's the Fuller Avenue Christian Reformed Church on Fuller Avenue in Grand Rapids. And again, you can go to redcross.org/West Michigan to get more information if you do have the internet. Kelly, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. And we'll contact you again if things start moving along and we need more information.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly. All right. Kelly Hudson is the Regional Communications Officer of the American Red Cross in West Michigan. Lots of places open if you need to get to them. And just be prepared. You can stay over. You can charge your, as she said, if you need to just charge your phone and your laptop and you want to go back to your house because maybe you have, a generator or a heater or something, but you just can't charge, then you can do that. If you're going to stay overnight, though, you need to bring the appropriate items with you. And again, you can go to redcross.org/West Michigan for that information. So, all right. Not a real good weekend for Western sports.
No, not at all. Except the men's basketball team won yesterday.
That's right. They're holding the banner.
Yes.
Women's basketball tonight. We'll bring you up to date on a little bit of sports here in just a few moments as we get ready closer to the top of the hour. It is the Trifecta, 590 WKZO. It is the Trifecta. It's Michael. It's Jim. Sports.
Sports.
Couple of things going on tonight, man. Women's basketball, Western Michigan style. That's on our sister station, 1660 to Fan, beginning at 6:30, as they play host to the Wolverines of Michigan, coming to University Arena to get thumped. The high-scoring Broncos.
Yes, they are very high-scoring.
Coach is a little worried about the defense, but I'm telling you, they can outscore people. You know, hey, what the heck? You might as well.
Yeah.
And I love the sound of this. The number one ranked Michigan State Spartans. That
sounds
good, doesn't it? Why do I get the feeling something's going to happen? No, I'm just kidding. 6 o'clock tonight here on AM 590 WKZL. They'll host Portland at the Breslin Center. First game as the number one team. They got picked by that way over the weekend because they defeated Kentucky. They were the number one team and State was two. So, yeah, good stuff. Gotta love it. Let's see. What else is happening? Hockey tomorrow in the Red Wings. They'll take on Nashville. The Predators. I've never seen a Predator down there. Supposed to be some animal.
Yeah, and can the Red Wings break their losing streak?
Man, I don't know. They played so badly at the Joe, man. You're just like, can we hit the road here? Can we, go play some road games?
Yeah.
Because we're not playing well at home. Not well at all. Not well. What is it, up to a five-game losing streak now?
Six.
Or six?
Yeah.
Oh. It's not good. Got a lot. Well, hopefully. And you can hear that on 1660 The Fan beginning at 7:10 tomorrow. So we went to the Portage Central Farmington Hills Harrison game on Saturday. And got to tell you, I was really surprised. I'm very happy, but mm-hmm. I was really surprised what the Mustangs did to the Hawks because Harrison has won more state championships than any other team.
Mm-hmm.
It's 13 of them, and they've been there 17 times. 13
wow.
and 4. But they came in, and the first play of the game, guy ran like 68 yards for a touchdown.
It's wow.
Like, this is like the Battle Creek Lakeview game, you know? And we're like, oh, no.
Yeah, well, they thumped them.
Yeah. Coach Enders said, you know, this is not the way I want to start games, by the way. You know, we don't want to do this. But they came right around, man, ended up doubling it up, 42-21, so... We'll be at Houseman Field on Saturday, 1 o'clock, the game starts, as they take on the Big Red of Muskegon. Whoever wins that goes to Ford Field.
So. Well, good luck to Portage Central.
I'm telling you, man, we're going to be there, too. It's going to be cool. All right, coming up next, CBS News, local news, and then more of the Trifecta, 590 WKZO.
The Trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.